across the galaxy. This is where conspiracy on the wild side meets the perspective of a lifetime. This is the Free Zone with your host, Freeman.
Hello and welcome to the Free Zone. Well, it appears that the powers that be want you to think it's the end of the world. I mean, they are definitely promoting this all over the place as we look to this latest article saying killer asteroid destroys New York in simulation exercise. Yeah, so the planetary defense experts reportedly were attempting to gauge what would happen if a 43,000 mile an hour, 1,000 foot diameter asteroid exploded into Manhattan. And well, guess what? Desolation. All right. There is no saving the city, only evacuation. And this led the UN and others to state that transformative changes are needed to save nature and ourselves. And so in a major report from the UN, we get the idea that the end of the world, is it coming? Critical UN report warns humans are driving mass extinction of species. Yes, a million species at risk. They say we have 10 to 20 years to make transformative changes in our social structures, in our business structures, and everything around us in order to save life on planet Earth. So to get deep into this transformative change coming our way, we are talking with Wayne McCroy. You can find him on Facebook and the Files from the Conspiratorium. Wayne is the author of two books, The Alchemical Tech Revolution, Fulfilling the Ancient Esoteric Agendas Through the Use of High Technology, something we're familiar with here on the Free Zone. And then what we're really going to get into today, The Autism Epidemic, Transhumanism's Dirty Little Secret. This is going to really shock you, amaze you, and probably terrify you. But yet, it's the truth. And I know you come here for the truth. So please welcome to the Free Zone, Wayne McCroy. Hey.
Thanks, Freeman. Thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Well, we know nobody wants us getting this out to the public. We've had some massive audio and technology issues just trying to get this recorded. Do you find that often?
Yeah, it's definitely.
Since you've been talking about vaccinations and stuff, does this happen to you?
Yeah, this is about the third or fourth time that something like this has happened. I just recently, within the past 2 months or so, just started talking about, vaccines and everything associated with this. And my new book just released on the 16th of April here. So ever since my book release and talking about the whole vaccine agenda, I've been having some major problems with my equipment, which I never had prior. So it's kind of a weird thing.
Well, what a weird time. You know, people need to leap off into weird, weird conspiratorial ideas when there's so much high strangeness right around us right now. This is something I like to do. I like to drop little conspiratorial bits into the real worlders' minds and just kind of see where it goes. So one of my favorites, which, you know, it seems so innocuous, when I ask the cashier at the grocery store or someone that I've run into, well, have you heard about the glow-in-the-dark kittens? You know, how can you be afraid of glow-in-the-dark kittens, right? And they're like, no, this can't be real. And I'm like, well, no, we got glow-in-the-dark kittens. We got glow-in-the-dark pigs and sheep. And this eventually leads me to telling them, well, you know, we're growing human body parts using gene splice technology in sheep that are grown out of artificial wombs. You know, by the time I'm there, they're going, nah, this isn't real. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. AIDS, you know, this has been used for the autoimmune deficiency. That's where glow in the dark cats come from. That's where human body parts and animals are starting to, you know, it's always cloaked under the idea of AIDS research. And then what we're finding is that these glow-in-the-dark animals, then their progeny also glow in the dark. So, you know, I'm always wondering what's going to happen with all these glow-in-the-dark cats running around. But, you know, this is a way you can get this into somebody's head, you know, and start that conversation.
Right. It's definitely, something you wouldn't expect, like at the supermarket checkout or something like that. But it just goes to show how much of this stuff is really going on. And I think people are a little more susceptible these days to actually listening to some of this stuff and finding out about this stuff, because it's kind of a scary time we're living in. There's a lot of this stuff going on. I just recently saw a story where I guess they were they had genetically modified some monkeys with like human brain cells or something like that. So Planet of the Apes, anybody? Right. I mean, where do you go from there with that stuff? But they're really doing this stuff in laboratories around the world, and people need to be aware that this is going on, these human-animal chimeras they're making. And I actually came across a few years back when I was researching this a little bit. There's actually white papers out there about the ethics behind it. They have like actual ethical papers and governance papers and policy papers about the ethics of human-animal chimeras and what kind of rights and stuff they should have. So this is something that the powers that be are really looking at. So people need to be aware that this is going on. So,
yeah, they always think I'm joking. They always think I'm joking. You know, they're like, nah, that's not real. And you know, I'm like, come on, you know, just Google it. Just take a look. Come on, just take a look. See if it's real. And you know, people aren't ready for the future. Meanwhile, we've got Sophia, the AI robot, running around saying she's really interested in humans' dreams, you know. And now we're getting into Philip K. Dick and how strange life could really be. And do you follow Sophia at all?
I haven't been following her much recently, but yeah, I'm aware of what exactly Sophia is and you know, some of the creepy things that she's said in the past. So yeah, it's artificial intelligence. This is something that's really going to be exploding here the next couple of years.
Without doubt. They are promoting it left and right. AI, it's all over. Of course, you got to say it with Ebonics. That's the way they're promoting it these days. So that's the way I hear it now. It's AI. Because all of this has become mainstream. It's throughout all of our science fiction. I mean, I watch Star Trek and I can't tell what gender is what, who's what. And all of the Netflix shows that are coming out are gender bending, and a lot of this mind transfer technologies, like Altered Carbon is one of the Netflix shows where, you know, kind of puts a whole new thing onto gender bending when you can just transmit your soul into anybody. That's when it really starts to get weird.
Yeah, well, that's exactly where this whole transgender push is going. This is a concept that's called the Overton window. And this is one of the methods that the controllers of our society use to make things acceptable to the public. They use this Overton window. What this is a tool that they use to make more and more bizarre ideas become acceptable as being normal. So that's where they're going. They slowly shift this window of what the public views as being acceptable and normal by introducing these more and more bizarre ideas until they finally get to where they want it to be. Now, it started slowly, like with this whole transgender thing. Like, first they tried to normalize like gay marriage and stuff like that. Now that it doesn't even seem like an issue in society these days. Like, that's a relatively normally accepted thing now for our society. And now they've been actively promoting this whole transgender push. And this is just the next phase towards transhumanism. And that's what it's all about. And like you said, I mean, when you're talking brain computer interfaces and stuff like that, being able to transfer your consciousness from one receptacle to another, it's eventually going towards the anything goes mentality. And that's what it's promoting. It's transhumanism, all of it. That's the major agenda that is the undercurrent of everything going on in our society today. It's the transhumanist movement.
Yeah, I know as we dig into this hour, we're going to learn a lot about how what we don't even think about, vaccinations and autism, how that's relating to transhumanism. The first movie I remember of this idea of cloning and mind transfer technology for, you know, basically immortality was The Sixth Day with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger as governor of California was battling George W. Bush over whether or not we should be cloning kids or not, or stem cell research and things of that nature. But the sixth day, I mean, their corporate logo for the film production company, Phoenix Pictures, uses a Lucifer as their corporate logo, which of course is a friction match. And so, you know, right off the bat, you've got Lucifer connecting transhumanism in a film with Arnold Schwarzenegger. It just doesn't get any stranger.
Right. I'm not familiar with that film, but I'll definitely have to look it up and watch it now.
It's old school.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely, you know, the connection there. They put this stuff out in our entertainment years and years before they actually do the full scale rollout of it. This is known pretty much in conspiracy circles as, predictive programming, or some people call it revelation of the method. That's what I refer to it as, is revelation of the method. And they use our entertainment to roll these ideas out so that when they start to appear in public view, people have an idea of what they are and are kind of accustomed to them already from seeing them in the entertainment. So it's kind of a way that they, once again, use this Overton window idea to introduce these weird ideas to the public and shift people's perceptions to that.
Well, people's perception of autism or Asperger's is pretty much way off as far as what people think it actually causes and how it comes about and what the people are like with these symptoms. One of my favorite Asperger people was Paul Laffoley. And I think he's a classic example of what we're going to talk about, because Paul is this savant who was the Twin Tower architect, you know, working with Yamasaki, but also was thrown out of Yale for conceptual deviance because he was designing devices like a time dilation device that required a 30-foot genetically modified jellyfish as its power source. And for Paul, all of this stuff worked. And he just made painting after painting of occult, esoteric, high technological devices that, you know, are beyond practice at this time, but absolutely deviant creativity going on with this. And of course, Paul suffers Asperger's, but he's a genius. You know, he just passed away recently, but we have some great films of him on freemantv.com if you're ever interested to dig into the high strangeness of this. But so here we have someone, you know, the Rain Man effect, this idea that these are savants instead of the idea that they have some sort of disability.
Right. And I'm very familiar with that idea. And actually there is some merit to that. One study has shown that it's likely that about 60% of people on the autism spectrum have savant skills of some type or another. So, I mean, that's a high prevalence when you're talking 60%. And another thing that I've kind of found in my research of this whole topic is they're looking for what they term as being autism without intellectual, what was the term? Hold on one second. I apologize. I lost my train of thought there.
Well, we went through a lot to get on the air here, Wayne. So, you know, let your soul catch back up, because guys, we've been in the background like battling to get this information to you. And so, yes, right now we're both a little frazzled and we're working our way back. So don't worry.
Right. Okay. The term that I'm looking for is they call it autism without intellectual impairment. So that's what they're looking for. And that's what they're trying to engineer in our society, is autism without intellectual impairment. And that's why at this point, the statistics show that 44% of all people with autism have average or above intelligence. That's kind of a misnomer people have about autism, is that they have this reduced intelligence capacity. Now, the vast majority, 44%, have average or above intelligence. And many on the higher end of the spectrum also have these savant skills associated with them. What autism really is this is a lack of social skills and basically some different types of behaviors that repeat. They have trouble with communication and with different aspects of intelligence. And a lot of this relates to a model of intelligence called the VPR model of intelligence. And this ties directly into artificial intelligence too, because they use this model of intelligence to develop artificial intelligence capacities. And this VPR model, what this is called the verbal, perceptual, and rotational model of intelligence. And what this is this focuses more on visual intelligence and things like that and spatial awareness. And people on the autism spectrum have a higher rate of spatial awareness and visual intelligence than neurotypical people do. And this has been borne out in many different studies. So this is something that a lot of our artificial intelligence machines is based on, is this VPR model of intelligence right now.
So they're AI looking for is autistic. What they call it.
AI is autistic. And you could actually find a quote where that Watson computer, you remember Watson, the one I guess they had on, they have it on Jeopardy. The programmers and creators of that Watson machine actually have been, are on record quoting, comparing it to being autistic. So, that's the whole thing. These artificial intelligences are based on autistic intelligence. And that's why, you know, the autism epidemic as it is, you know, transhumanism's dirty little secret, because what they plan on doing eventually is, merging the human brain with these computer systems and these artificial intelligences. So they found that based upon, you know, autistic intelligence, people on the autism spectrum are more compatible to be combined with an artificial intelligence, like through a computer brain interface. So that's where this whole thing's going.
So we should expect to see something like, we've got the cure for autism. All you need to do is jack in.
Pretty much. That's what my research has shown, and that's kind of the direction that I'm going with my new book here. That's kind of what I found. That's the whole thing. They discovered early on what the general cause of autism is. And what this actually is the disruption of calcium channels in your neurons. So this dysregulated calcium neuron channel is the general overall cause of what causes these autistic symptoms. And this translates into trouble with communication, repetitive behaviors, things like that, as outward visible signs of this. So they discovered through the footwork that was put together by the Bateson project of the cybernetics group back in the mid-1940s. That's where this all stems from. This is where they discovered, you know, what it is that's causing these autistic type behaviors. And from there, they started experimenting on it because, like I said, this was one of their big steps in trying to produce an artificial intelligence that worked. They used, you know, these autistic people as a model for the artificial intelligence. And that's where a lot of this stems from. It comes back from cybernetics. So maybe we could define what cybernetics is for people who don't quite understand it, because most people think of cybernetics and just think of like robotics and stuff like that. But what cybernetics actually is this is a system where they look at things from a holistic perspective. So it studies whole systems, not just little parts of systems. So like, this is completely the antithesis of what our modern education system is. In our modern education system, they break down thoughts and ideas into, you know, separate subjects. That's why, you know, you go to school, you have math class, you have social studies, you have science, you have English, et cetera, et cetera. Breaks these ideas down into individual little parts for short periods of time. And they don't ever overlap. And when you go out in the real world, you have to look at things from a whole systems perspective. And that's what this cybernetics is. It's an interdisciplinary study that looks at holistic systems and how they operate. So using this cybernetics approach, they discovered early on that the disruption of these calcium neuronal channels in people is what caused these types of behaviors and different psychological disorders in people. Autism being key among them. At that time, though, they had classified autism as schizophrenia, though, as a subset of schizophrenia symptoms, because at that point in history, they still didn't really have a whole separate diagnosis for autism. It wasn't until 1943 that Leo Kanner came around and actually made the first official diagnosis of autism and identified autism as something separate from schizophrenia. But even still at this time, right up into the 1960s, most people, when they saw autism, they classified it as schizophrenia because it wasn't really a well-known diagnosis at that point. So that's where a lot of this comes from. So you have to do a little digging to find out, you know, what the cybernetics approach to this was showing. So that's kind of where it goes. So they discovered that this disruption of the calcium neuronal channels in people caused the basic, was the basic, you know, starter function for autism and for different types of disorders. Now that includes other mental disorders and stuff too, not just autism, but primarily autism. So if they knew the general idea of what was the cause of this, then we have to ask the question, well, what causes this dysregulation of calcium neuronal channels in people? And lo and behold, you do a little digging and you find out that one of the key things that causes this dysregulation is aluminum.
Right.
Something
we are all getting our daily dosage of.
Yep. I mean, look around. It's everywhere. It's, you know, it's in the chemtrails, which, you know, are readily admitted to now. Now they call it geoengineering. Decades past and stuff, they denied that was ever going on, but there's a huge scale program going on with that. And that's one of the key elements that's found in these chemtrail sprays is aluminum. It's also the number one primary adjuvant in every single vaccine. It's aluminum hydroxide, I believe, is the one that's used most in the vaccines. And I think this is where we're getting the most exposure to it, because they're, you know, they're directly injecting it in people. And the aluminum that they're using in the vaccines as an adjuvant, it's not just like a regular aluminum. They're using aluminum nanoparticles combined with some other different adjuvants like polysorbate 80, which what polysorbate 80 is this is called a phospholipid. And what this does is this actually opens up the blood-brain barrier for particles to pass through. And it's also been demonstrated in many other scientific studies that nanoparticles of aluminum, if they're under the size of 200 nanometers, they could freely pass through the blood-brain barrier. And I think this is what's going on, and this is what's causing the onset symptoms of autism in people and why it's related to the vaccines. Because these aluminum nanoparticles that they're using for the adjuvants in the vaccine are crossing the blood-brain barrier and causing a type of encephalitis that causes the onset of symptoms. So I think that's what's going on as far as the vaccine autism link.
Yeah, there's crazy mania going on right now with all of that. And, you know, it just seems so discordant as you watch the vaccinated attacking the unvaccinated and saying, you know, you got to get vaccinated or you're going to make me sick. And I'm like, well, wait, didn't you get a vaccination?
Yeah, does it work or doesn't it? I mean, that's the whole thing. And it's, once again, it's this whole social engineering Hegelian dialectic at work there, trying to keep us, you know, pitted against each other over things that, you know, we really shouldn't be fighting and arguing over. So, like there's no logic behind it. Like, why would an unvaccinated person be a risk to a vaccinated person? If your vaccine really works and will protect you, then why are you so afraid, first of all? And second of all, how does that make an unvaccinated person any more likely to be a carrier of a disease than a vaccinated person, somebody that's actually been physically injected with the thing that they're trying to vaccinate against? You know what I mean? So it's like a logical disconnect. It's a logical disconnect, and it's all social engineering, and you see how the people just eat it up and keep infighting over it.
Yeah, it seems to me the only time I ever get a flu is if I'm near a child. I hate to say that, but, you know, it's the only time I ever get sick. It's as if they've been made into super virus dispensers. And I don't know whether that's true or not, but all I know is I only get sick when I have a flu-ridden kid next to me.
Well, it seems logical, because you got to figure it's been well known that many of these viruses and stuff in the vaccines, when you're vaccinated for them, the vaccines shed. So that means that these people, whatever they're vaccinated for, they could actually shed the disease and give it to other people for a time period like right after vaccination. So yeah. Like most of them are, I think, like 21 days or something like that. They could be contagious and go spread around whatever it is that they were vaccinated for to other people. So in this way, this is another way that they kind of keep the whole fear of the whole thing going, is because they vaccinate this person, they go get their flu shot, and then they go out in society and spread the flu to everybody. So this is where your like flu epidemics and stuff come from. Somebody goes and gets vaccinated and goes around and spreads it around. And then, you know, they tell you, make sure you go get vaccinated.
Yeah, we'll give it to you free, you know, at Walmart, you know.
Yeah, create the problem and then profit from it. And that's what they're doing. And that's only a small part of the agenda at play here.
Yes. I want to continue digging into this. Because, you know, one thing I'm thinking, though, is, would then adults, is it possible that suddenly you would start to have symptoms of autism? Is this possible, mild forms of autism that you didn't have? Like, does it work that way, where as an adult you can start developing these symptoms?
Well, I think it depends from person to person, but you could start definitely displaying other type symptoms, like look at bipolar disorder, manic depressive disorder. All these things are epidemic. I read a study that shows one in five people have some form of mental illness. One in five. That's obscene. And I believe that, you know, the stuff they're spraying us with, the stuff they're putting in vaccines, all of this stuff combined together, they create this perfect synergistic network that causes these type of symptoms in people's nervous systems. So like this stuff, when you and I were growing up, we did not see this stuff as prevalent as it is. No. And another one that's getting really, really prevalent now is Alzheimer's. And that's been directly linked to aluminum exposure.
Right.
So, I mean, these different symptoms could appear in people in different ways. I think it affects adults differently than children because their immune system's a little different at that point. But I think it's all part and parcel of the same thing going on. Like, you might come down with some type of a nervous disorder, or like Lou Gehrig's disease, or like, say, some form of schizophrenia, bipolar disorder. That's a popular one right now. That's like epidemic. It's like I said, it's one in five people has some type of a psychological disorder now.
I just saw a commercial for schizophrenia. For a medication for schizophrenia. And, you know, it shocked me. It shocked me because how many people could there be that you would need a commercial for schizophrenia? Well, that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's crazy. You wouldn't expect to see something like that on TV. I mean, like I said, when you and I were growing up, going back years ago, you didn't see things like this all the time. Like, yeah. I could tell you, there was maybe like two or three kids in the special education program in the school I went to growing up. I mean, I'm talking the whole entire school. That was it.
Right.
You know? And now it's epidemic. It's like, it's unbelievable. You've got schools devoting, like one local school here where I live, I just found a newspaper article last year that said that they were getting more funding from, you know, the general education fund for special ed, because they estimated that 18% of all the students that go to the school needed special education classes. They had some type of a disability where they needed to be in special education. 18%. That's almost one in five. That's obscene.
That's insane.
Think about it. Yeah. Think about it. Where we can, you know, where we came from growing up and stuff, like, this stuff was few and far between. Well,
yeah,
now the official number says, yeah, I mean, now the official number, though, is 1 in 59 have autism. That's the last official CDC number that came out, 1 in 59. And I believe that was 2014 was the last official number that they put out for that. So you're talking, that's 5 years ago, so it's probably escalated more than that.
Yeah, so just as we were getting out of school, the whole ADD, ADHD was becoming a thing, and parents were grabbing Ritalin and Adderall as quick as they could to give to their children, trying, you know, they didn't think to take sugar out of their diet, but they made sure they got their Ritalin and Adderall. And then, you know, we have this explosion of transgenderism, and this seems to also play into this same role. So I'm focusing us now towards the agenda as to why we would want all of this gender bending and autism. You know, what is the they after with all of this? But do you think that, or do you know that any of these type of medications and things have had reports on this idea of bringing up, because transgenderism, boy, that wasn't a thing either.
No, you're right. That wasn't a thing. I mean, you had, you know, you always had that person that was like a closet gay or something that you knew or something like that. I mean, that's kind of been something that's come along from time immemorial. But this whole transgender thing was never really a thing. I don't know so much if it relates as much to the prescription medications or if it's other things. Like, it's been shown that bisphenol A, this is a chemical put in like a lot of the plastic bottles and stuff, acts as an estrogen mimicker in your body. So there's a lot of different things like that that contribute to this. But the overall agenda behind it is something that's called post-genderism. So transgenderism is just one, you know, step of the Overton window away from what's called post-genderism. And there's actually white papers and stuff you could find about this post-genderism. One of them is called Post-Genderism Beyond the Gender Binary. People could look this one up. It's very telling. And basically what I tell people is, if you see the term post-genderism, this could be considered synonymous with transhumanism. So, yeah, this is something that's part of the same agenda. So like I said, the overarching agenda behind it all is the transhumanist agenda. And it all ties together in just very strange ways that you wouldn't expect. And, you know, when I set out doing what I'm doing, I never expected to find these links like I did. Like, right, when I first started like looking at the whole autism epidemic, I only started looking at the autism epidemic is because I have two children on the autism spectrum. So I was trying to better understand more about it, where it came from, what causes it, and, you know, what kind of treatments and stuff were available. So when I found this link to, you know, the whole transhumanist idea, I was floored. So that's why I started putting this book together. Originally, when I set out to write this book, I was writing a book about vaccines. And that's, you know, not where the research led me. So I had to go where the research led and, you know, connect the dots. And what I found is just plain shocking. So
what you discovered was that there were many autistic people being recruited into drone programs, into military computer programs, into quantum computing and things of that nature.
Right. The Israeli army. Yeah. The Israeli army, for one, directly recruits people with autism to work for them. Also a lot of tech companies do too. A lot of people with the higher functioning forms of autism seem to do well as engineers and, you know, computer scientists, IT people, things like that. They do well with technology.
Right. So they're hoping to kind of form this whole force of the autistic brigade.
Actually, autism has been looked at from the perspective of trying to develop super soldier programs as well. So that's kind of a shocking tell in and of itself, too. And in my book, I list 16 different traits that are desirable super soldier traits that are found in autism. So, you know, there's a little bit of a correlation there as well.
So this is kind of like the, you know, super strength, the lack of compassion.
Right, they require a very, very structured existence. You know, they're good at compartmentalizing tasks, just things of that nature. Like, there's a lot of different things that kind of tie together with that. Plus, not only that, like I've said, a lot of the research and stuff that's gone into artificial intelligence stems from autistic intelligence. So they're looking at the models of autistic intelligence and realizing that these people with autism, the higher functioning ones, are more compatible to be merged with an artificial intelligence. And that's kind of where the computer brain interface thing is going. I'm predicting that very soon, probably within the next year or so, there's going to be a major company that comes out and says, we have this brain implant or this computer brain interface that it could help with the treatment of autism. So I will not be surprised when that day comes. I'm thinking it's also possible they could do the same thing with Alzheimer's, but I think autism's the more likely candidate, simply because you're talking, it's generally, you know, a younger population, whereas people with Alzheimer's are usually generally a little bit older. So I don't think that they would be concentrating so heavily on trying to find, some kind of a computer brain interface to cure that so much as they would with a younger person. So what they're doing is they're testing out these new drugs and new technologies on people on the autism spectrum. So you'll see more of this coming along. What they're doing is they're using these people as guinea pigs for their transhumanist goals.
I believe it. I believe it. And, you know, I again, you know, with the glow in the dark animals, this is all stemming from AIDS research. And then we had the gene spliced children, Lulu and Nana, in China. And they were again trying to make them resistant to HIV in the womb with gene splicing with CRISPR technology, and then found that they had higher cognitive abilities due to this gene splice. So then, of course, they readily fired the professor that did it. You know, can't have anybody thinking this was official business. And just like old Hoang Suk, who anytime you bring up a human cloning, if you read human cloning articles, the first thing they're going to say is disgraced scientist Hoang Suk, who claimed to have cloned humans but didn't. And they want to make sure that you don't think any of this is really going on.
Oh, absolutely. And that's all part of the overall agenda, is they want people to not believe this stuff. I mean, and it doesn't matter how much of it they put in your face. People don't want to believe it. The cognitive dissonance is real. It's very real. People just shut down when they're presented with something that shakes their worldview.
Yeah,
and that's all part of this too.
Even something as simple as glow-in-the-dark kittens. I watch their eyes, you know? Like, I just gauge their reaction to something as simple as making a glow-in-the-dark animal. I mean, you can use home CRISPR kits. People were doing this on YouTube and Kickstarter, making home gene splicing and trying out different things and injecting themselves live on YouTube. I mean, you know, that's the level we're at. Well, you can do it in your kitchen. It's crazy.
Right, and that's the scary part. That's the scariest part with it. Now, right now, they're using, they just came out recently and said they're starting to use what they call a Cas10 protein now instead of the Cas9 protein in it, because it's more effective and it works better, because they're finding that a lot of the Cas9 protein that they use for these CRISPR technologies is not working or having the full effect that they wanted it to. So it hasn't been like completely doing what they predicted it would do, but they're having more luck with this Cas10 enzyme now. So they've come out and just recently announced that. Right. Another aspect of CRISPR that I find disturbing is with this CRISPR technology, they developed a technology called a gene drive. Now, what this does is this will actually alter your DNA. What CRISPR does is it goes in and it snips out a portion of your DNA. And what it could also do is they use a protein scaffold that they put in there that could put something else into this DNA sequence. And with this, they could reprogram your genes so that like a gene that's recessive could now be an expressive gene and, you know, cause different effects in people. But the concerning part about this is with this gene drive technology, this is a trait that will be passed down to future offspring.
That's just it.
Who's, or Right. So, I mean, this could create all kinds of just different problems that, you know, haven't even been thought about yet. I mean, when you think about it, we're tinkering with people's DNA. They don't know what kind of side effects there are. And if there's things like home CRISPR kits where people are injecting themselves with stuff and, you know, possibly altering their genetics and passing it on to their children, who knows what kind of medical problems and stuff their children will have or what kinds of mutations could take place.
Yeah, it never quite sinks in with people when I say, and those kittens produce further glow-in-the-dark cats, you know, and I mean, I assume that they're killing these glow-in-the-dark cats off because, honestly, that would be an awesome market. I mean, if I could, I would buy glowpets.com and I'd be selling these things all day long.
See, that's the thing. It probably is a very marketable thing. Think about it. It's something people would definitely buy. And I think that time is coming in the very near future where this kind of stuff will be kind of seen as being, you know, relatively normal or commonplace, and people will actually start, you know, doing things like buying glow-in-the-dark pets and things like that. There will actually be a market and a demand for it.
Yeah, we're already buying cloned pets.
Yeah, I mean, it's a scary road to go down, but that brings into, you know, question the whole ethical question. Should we do this just because we can? And, you know, the people in control of the money and the science and all that backs it, they don't care about ethics. They're going to do it anyway.
No. And they're going to use Barbara Streisand to promote it because she cloned her dog twice.
Right, precisely. Things like that. And then the other thing that you got to remember, when you see this stuff publicly rolled out like it is, you have to remember that all these technologies that we see as the state of the art right now that are being publicly rolled out, these things have already been put through the paces by the military industrial complex 30 to 50 years ago. So they knew what this stuff could do 30 to 50 years ago and have used it for every possible military application that they could find to use it for and have thoroughly studied it before it comes out into the public view. So when you keep that in mind, you have to realize that what we view as state of the art today is at least 30 years old. They've been able to do this for at least 30 years prior.
Yeah, I know 15 years ago, I did an interview with Dr. Deagle talking about genetically modified, electronically controlled attack baboons.
That sounds interesting.
Sounds about right, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It sounds about right. And that was probably actually a 20-year-old program back then.
Right.
So you got to think about, you know, what we see as the state of the art in the public sector today. Lord only knows what they got going on behind the scenes in these black budget projects and these special access programs.
So where do we go? I mean, what do we do? When I'm talking to people about glow-in-the-dark cats, you know, I watch and I gauge and I try to understand what it would take to get them to wake up to the true consequences of what's going on around. And awakening the public to this is difficult. And, you know, I'm trying to find our path because I don't understand it. Myself, I would be happy just growing my garden, having my community, and occasionally, you know, bumbling around the globe a little bit or something. You know, I don't need progress. I don't understand progress. I don't know where we're going with all of this and why people think it's something that is of value.
Right. Well, that's the thing. There's always people that want to be on the cutting edge of this technology, and a lot of it provides a lot of convenience, and that's, you know, one of the selling points for it. Now, one of the major selling points for, you know, the whole transhumanist movement is look at it from this perspective. Like, say you had a car accident or something, were paralyzed from the waist down. If somebody came along and said, "Hey, we could give you this brain prosthesis that'll allow you to walk again." Well, that's a good thing, right? And that's kind of how they market this. And this is kind of how they get the public to buy into this stuff.
But I remember head transplants. Just from,
that just went on recently.
Yeah. Yeah. But, that's a thing, guys. That's a thing.
It's a real thing. Yeah. And most people will be shocked to hear that.
Right. Yeah, and you go all the way back to those Russian experiments where they had the live dog heads and such that were, you know, disembodied heads that were still alive.
Yeah, and the monkeys. They did back, you're going back probably to the 1960s.
Yeah, way back.
With the monkeys.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's way, so you got to figure that that possible technology is probably 50 years advanced of what we see today. So, you know, going from there, I mean, if they could do this stuff and market it as being a good thing, this is how they're going to get the public to buy into the whole transhumanist thing. Because they're going to say, well, we could cure diseases with this. We could, you know, help people that are paralyzed to walk again. We could help people with intellectual disabilities to be like super geniuses. We could do all this stuff. And this is how they're going to, you know, sell it to the public. Only problem is, from what my research has shown, the people who control this stuff at the top of the power pyramid, they have no intention of letting the public be privy to the use of these transhumanist technologies for their benefit. This is only going to be for the select few at the top, the elite, if you will.
Well, so, think about the stories that we open. We open this show with these two end of the world stories, the asteroid collision in Manhattan and the UN report saying that humans need to stop reproducing, basically, you know, like humans have to have a transformative change is the word of the day. And so on one hand, they're telling us, look, guys, we got to end human population right now or we're going to kill everything. And then the other side saying, hey, you could live forever. How do we even bring these together? It doesn't make any sense at all.
Right. And here's the thing with that. All you have to do to know that what their intention is behind this is look at a little something called the Georgia Guidestones. And they've literally wrote their intentions in stone.
Maintain the population at 500 million.
Precisely. So that's what it's going to be. You know, what they're doing now with vaccines and chemtrails and all of that, this is a dual purpose thing. Okay. This synergistic use of these technologies, these what I deem alchemical technologies, and maybe we can get a little more into the alchemical bend of things a little later on here.
We will.
What they're using these, they're using these synergistic technologies for is, it's dual purpose. Its first purpose is to bring people online for the transhumanist singularity. And its secondary purpose is to cull the population. So these are what you would term soft kill weapons, essentially. So they plan on reducing the numbers of the population a great deal. And actually, some of the research I've done has shown that the trends in population, what we're reported as being the true population of the Earth right now is not a true number. If you go back to the beginnings of the 1900s, the population at that time was, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, it was only like 2.7 billion or something worldwide is what their population estimate was. And it's grown since then till now to where it's almost 8 billion people right now. And when you look historically back through the timeline that, you know, they give us as being our history, which I think is also jacked up too, if you want my opinion. When you go back and look, the exponential growth from, let's say, the year 1900 till today, it could not possibly be a thing, especially when you take into consideration just even the wars that we've had in the 1900s, World War One, World War Two, where populations were decimated. And that's not even including things like, you know, genocides and stuff in countries and democides, like 262 million in the Soviet Union that were supposedly killed and things like that. So when you look at that, how is it that the population grew like four times what it was in just a little over 100 years? It's totally unprecedented throughout the entire historical record. So when you look at it, I think that our population numbers are misreported too. And I actually looked at looking at the trends, the population is actually dropping in most places, especially here in first world nations like America and over in a lot of the first world nations in Europe. So,
yeah, when I have a lot of kids.
The numbers are right. And that's by design. So they've been slowly culling the population all along here. but there's going to be an even more massive rollout of it here coming up soon. And I think that's what a lot of this big, vaccination push is. They're getting people to be afraid of the measles, of all things, like right. The measles. It's a rash with a white fever. You know what I mean? So come on. It's not like this deadly thing. Like I could understand if they were trying to push like Ebola as being the big thing or something, you know, scary like that, but it's the measles and they're pushing this like it's this huge epidemic, yet, you know, they turn a blind eye to the autism epidemic. So like 500 and some people getting the measles in the United States in a couple months, they call that an epidemic, but autism, when you're talking up until this point, my estimate is there's probably around since the start of the year 2019 up until this point, my estimate is there's probably been approximately 32,000 people diagnosed with autism since then. So they don't consider this an epidemic, but they consider 500 cases of measles an epidemic. And, yeah. And that's where there's a logical disconnect once again. Right.
And that's where your research starts coming in and putting puzzle pieces together and leading to this transhumanist agenda, which no one is thinking about. I guarantee there's no one out there that has thought of this idea that, oh my God, AI and autism go together. Mind transfer technologies and quantum computers. And I would have never thought of this. I mean, even knowing Paul Laffoley and the amazing things that he does or did, poor guy passed, but I just would have not put this together. And I'm amazed and delighted and also concerned by your work.
I am too. So that's my whole reason for being here. Like I said, I didn't go looking for this stuff. Like initially, like I said, my intention was to write a book about vaccines. And where the research led me from there, like looking at the autism epidemic and stuff. Like I said, I was shocked and people will be shocked at all the things that relate to autism. Like, it's unbelievable. There's even an entire social engineering campaign going on in our society right now to normalize autism.
Yes.
And there's actually people saying that it's the next step in human evolution. Right. I'm not making this up. I mean, anybody could go Google this stuff and look. And they're also posthumously attributing people with autism, you know, through the historical record, you know, famous people who made a big difference in our society. They're attributing them posthumously with autism now. Like if you go back and look, you could find a list of people that they're saying had autism with no proof or evidence or anything. They're just going back and saying, oh, Albert Einstein had autism. Charles Darwin had autism. Isaac Newton had autism. Michelangelo had autism. And, you know, this is something anybody could look up. So what they're doing with this is a normalization campaign. They're trying to make it look as if autism has been with mankind throughout all of history. Right. And it's provable that it's not, that it has not been. But they're going back and changing the historical record now by doing this, by posthumously attributing this autism to, like, some of these famous people. And there's also archaeological studies and different paleontology studies and things like that that are – and anthropology, that as well, that's the big one. Anthropologists are also going back and saying that ancient man, like, pre-modern man – autism was a very important part of our evolution. And this is all being written into the history books and the textbooks and stuff now at this point. So they're trying to change history and make it appear as if autism has been with us all along when it's actually provable that it has not. I mean, even common sense will tell you that it has not because, like I said, if you go back to like when you and I were growing up as children, how many autistic children did you know?
One. And I remember also on the Facts of Life when they brought the autistic girl out as a character and she made autism funny.
Right. And that's also another aspect of this social engineering program. They put it in our entertainment. Think of the Big Bang Theory, Sheldon Cooper. This is what you call a rhetorical view of autism. This is a rhetorical case of autism. This is what they're doing. They're using these rhetorical models of autism in our entertainment to normalize it. And what this translates as is it's kind of a relatively unemotional, socially awkward genius And that's the image that they're trying to portray. This, they want this association in your brain that this is what autism is. And there's a reason for that, because the prevalence of people on the higher functioning end of autism is increasing. And the prevalence of the ones on the lower functioning end of autism is decreasing. There's the numbers show that 23% of people on the autism spectrum right now are on that low end of the functioning spectrum and are like severely autistic. And my heart goes out to the families and stuff dealing with this, because I both of my children that are on the autism spectrum are on the higher functioning end of it. And I can't imagine what some of these families that have severely autistic children go through. It's yeah. hard enough dealing with the, you know, just the mild cases of it. But, you know, and that's the thing. But these numbers are growing apart disparately, whereas the rate of people on the higher end of the spectrum are increasing and the people on the lower end are decreasing, which shows me that they're achieving some of what they're looking for with this whole idea of autism without intellectual impairment. So that shows me that this is an engineered epidemic. And that's kind of the premise I'm running at with this. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that don't want this message to go out, but this is what I see going on. And, you know, being a parent and, you know, a human being like I am, I cannot know that this is going on and stand aside and do nothing about it. And that's why, you know, I'm out writing books and trying to, you know, do as many radio shows and stuff as I can just to get this word out.
Right.
Because, you know, we need to be aware that this is going on and remove our consent from their system. And, you know, possible solutions for this, stand up, say no to vaccines. I mean, this is one of your primary contributing factors to this. It's been, you know, shown for the past 20, 30 years, this link. There's an undeniable link between vaccines and autism. Undeniable. As much as they will do these stupid scientific studies that show that you know, vaccines don't cause autism or whatever, and I could grab dozens of different studies and literally pick them apart and show you where the data is skewed to show what they wanted to show. I've done innumerable hours of research into this to show you how they cherry pick the data and just show what they want to show. In fact, when they put out a vaccine study, what they do first is they put forth the conclusion that they want, and then, you know, they come up with the study that they want and manipulate the data so that it shows the conclusion they want. And this is demonstrable. I mean, you could demonstrate that this is how this works. So, you know, there's this undeniable link between vaccines and autism, and I think that's one of the big keys. And I think that's why they're trying to shut me up and shut up a lot of these other people that they call anti-vaxxers, is because they need this in order to achieve their transhumanist goal. So this right here, this is probably the most important thing you could do, is remove your consent from their system. Say no to their vaccines. Don't take the vaccines. And that's why they're trying to mandate it, because they know.
They're sending SWAT teams into people's homes.
Right. And you have to question, why is this going on? Why are they trying to force an invasive medical procedure on people? Think about it. Like, this is such a violation of human sovereignty and human rights that it's beyond the pale. It's beyond question. It violates the Nuremberg Code, for crying out loud. I mean, this was supposedly, you know, the international law put in place that you cannot give somebody a medical procedure without their consent. And this is what they're doing. It's an invasive medical procedure. And you have to ask, why are they doing this? Because they're desperate, because people are waking up right and left. They're desperate, and they want their transhumanist singularity, and they're going to get it one way or another. And that's why the big push on these vaccines. If they can't convince you to take them through social engineering, they're going to try and mandate them and force them on you. And then you have to ask, well, why is this? And this is why, because these vaccines, the ingredients that they put in the vaccines, particularly an ingredient called an adjuvant. What this is, the adjuvants are an ingredient in the vaccine that it kind of supercharges your immune system to attack the antigen in the vaccine. So they use these to overstimulate your immune system, which, by the way, they've known since at least the 1970s that vaccines and the adjuvants in them could cause autoimmune disorders. But That's beside the point. But they put these adjuvants in there to supercharge your immune system to attack the antigen, supposedly. But the real reason they're in there is to do damage to your nervous system and make it more receptive to electromagnetic frequencies, such as, you know, the coming 5G network, so that they could institute their different ideas to bring about their transhumanist control grid. That's what this is really about. And they know that if people refuse to get vaccinated, their whole house of cards falls and they can't do it. This is an important part of the synergistic network that they're using, the vaccination. They want to inject you with this stuff for a reason, and it has nothing at all to do with public health. They could care less about your health. I think that's demonstrable, that they could care less about your health.
They need you dead. They admit it over and over again, but yet they're going to send SWAT teams into your house, take your children under a gunpoint. I mean, yeah, this is insanity. This, folks, is a full spectrum dominance is what you're seeing here. And you honestly, you need to get a copy of The Autism Epidemic, Transhumanism's Dirty Little Secret. Wayne, can you tell everybody how they can get a hold of your book?
It's available on Amazon right now. It's also should be coming out in the other major book retailers anytime now too. Should be start to be available in Barnes and Noble and anywhere else you could find books. It's available, like I said, primarily right now through Amazon. You could buy it's available as a physical copy, or you could get it as a digital download if that's your thing. Also, my first book is available too. That's The Alchemical Tech Revolution, Fulfilling Ancient Esoteric Agendas Through the Use of High Technology. That's also available anywhere in any fine book retailer, Barnes and Noble, Amazon, anywhere that you could order books. I also have a Facebook page that I primarily post on. It's called Files from the Conspiratorium. And if anybody wanted to reach me elsewhere, I could be reached at thealchemicaltechrevolution@gmail.com. So I don't really have my own website or anything like that. I'm not really primarily, a conspiracy theorist or whatever they want to call me.
Which is another mental illness.
Yeah, by the way, which, yeah, they've kind of categorized in the new DSM manual. So, but yeah, I mean, this is something that I'm doing, you know, because I love my children and I want them to have a future. This isn't something that, you know, I make a living at or anything. I just kind of do this part time because I care and I want a future for humanity. So,
right. Well, folks, I would say grab these books as quick as you can, because all the difficulty I've seen Wayne trying to have getting his word out, and right here on the Free Zone as well, we, you know, almost didn't get this show to you. So I would say go out, get The Autism Epidemic right now. And of course, the link is right there on freemantv.com for you to grab it. And we're going to dig into the alchemical tech revolution in the other half on the members side. So if you're not yet a member at freemantv.com, come on over, help support the show, check it out. There's 14 years of data and so much more on freemantv.com for you to peruse free. And then the extra bonus information that is always wild in the members section where we have our little family. So I hope you'll come over to freemantv.com and subscribe and get these second bonus hours. But I hope that we're giving you all that you need to move forward on this planet, because it's time, folks. It's time to make the stand. I mean, it's well past time. But, you know, these are simple methods of change. And one of the simplest, of course, is battling this vaccination campaign that's coming our way. So we're going to take this over into the members section and get a little deeper into fulfilling the ancient esoteric agendas. That is something I definitely am into. I always have to thank Steve Mercer for giving me the wonderful guests that I get to talk to. So, Steve, thank you so much. And, guys, you can always write Steve, producersteve@freemantv.com. Get your voice heard. Get your message out. Let me know who you want to hear from. Let me know what you think. And you know, let Steve know so that we can bring what you need to you. So, Wayne, we're going to take this on over into the members section and get deep into this esoteric agenda, one of my favorite topics. And of course, you know, it's such a high, strange place, folks, and we see it all happening around us, and it can't go both ways, guys. We can't have the UN's end of the world scenario coming along with eternal life for humans. It just will never be. So we know there's a major agenda, and we are now looking at this full spectrum dominance as it is creeping into our souls from all over, and we're going to get into that as well. Any final statements there for the first hour here, Wayne?
Yeah, I would just like to encourage people, stand up, be strong, be brave, say no to their system, say no to the vaccines, take back your sovereignty. People are more powerful than what they want you to believe. So if we stand up and say no and remove our consent from the system, they can't do what they want to do. So we could have a brighter future that way.
Be bold, and mighty forces will come to your aid without doubt. So let's be bold, folks. We're ready. We're here. I'm here for you. Wayne's here for you. We're all out here. So stand up and let's do this thing. All right, let's move on over into the members section. So we'll see the rest of you guys next week.